Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation said, Amen. Well, we've already had such a great service. And I want to add my congratulations to these men who were before you, Travis Birdwell. Travis and DJ came to our congregation not long ago, but from the moment they got here, their feet hit the ground, and they've been at work and involved in a number of things already. I know God is blessing us because of their being here, and we're happy that they are. And Travis Good, I think it's wonderful to think about the legacy of families. And of course, Travis is a part of that, isn't he? And I know his family is honored for his service that he's done and that he's undertaking now as a deacon here. And whether you know it or not, Roger Poe is doing the very same thing. His father was a great leader in the church and was an elder and served that. I think that speaks highly of raising your children and encouraging them to follow after parents that set good examples. And then we have young men like Ken Sabella that I think is just so outstanding that we have a young man who has come to us and has taken hold and does so much for our congregation already. He and his whole family. We look forward to your service, Ken. We thank you for what you've done for us already. And Jim and Donna, this is David's in-laws. They're wonderful people, aren't they? They've come our way, and they are workers in the Lord, and they are a part of us. Even though they travel a lot, they are busy in the Lord's kingdom. And what a great asset that is for us. And I can't help but think about your dad, Dodd, in a day like today. And I know he's honored. His name is honored in your service today. God bless you and Christy and your family. You're a blessing to us here at South Main. And we're just so fortunate to have so many of these fine people that make up our leadership. I know. Now you're waiting on the sermon, right? And is Bob going to get us out of here on time? Well, of course I am. I'm going to get you out of here when we're done. And that will be on time. I want to read a section of Scripture that you've probably been looking at already. I know Tom has been teaching it in his class here recently. And I'm focusing really on one verse, but it's really a thought that I think is a very powerful biblical thought all throughout Old Testament Scripture as well as the New Testament. And it's about remembering. If you have a new version, the word remembering is probably going to be pointed out in the phrase that says, be sure that you point these things out. Okay? And I'm going to take a few minutes. You're seeing this passage as Paul is telling Timothy, if you put the brethren in remembrance, remind them of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. the idea of remembering. And I'm going to just sort of pick a few of these verses, some of them about leadership, elders, deacons, some of them about us, members, and our response for just a few minutes as we think about that concept of being good servants of God by putting ourselves in remembrance or pointing out what we know God has said for us to better understand. I don't think I have to tell you that one of the things that Israel struggled with throughout its history was remembering what God had told them to do. God had laid out a specific plan that they were to be able to have access to and hear and be able to take in the Word of God. They even had a system where it would be read publicly to everybody once a year. I can't imagine what it was like. We're so used to being able to carry around our own books and have all of this, and now we have these, and we can get it in every language and all kinds of different versions. We have it so readily available to us to remind ourselves what God has said. Well, what would it be like if no one remembered? I mean, isn't that an important aspect of life? I mean, in so many ways. Not just the idea of what God has taught us, but just think in terms of how important it is that we have things, memories, to bring to mind. Think about your family. We're getting ready now. Tommy led us in a lot of great, uplifting, thanksgiving songs. Because in our country, we're going to put to death a bunch of turkeys. And maybe it's ham in your place or roast or whatever it is. But we're going to get together and have a meal together and be grateful or thankful about what we have in our country. Thanksgiving. But the long and the short of it is that it's a family time, isn't it? I mean, it's a time when we're together with friends and family. And we think about what a good thing that has been throughout our lives. So much so that if we know of someone who is, let's say, without family, we want to hurry and include them into our family so that they will not be without someone to be able to celebrate some with or to be grateful with in what we call a holiday period of time. Well, that's what the apostle here is trying to encourage this young preacher about, telling him that he will be a good servant and minister of the Lord by bringing to remembrance the things that God has said for these people. In 2 Peter chapter 3, there's another verse that says the very same kind of idea. And when he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds, how? By way of remembrance. I'm reminding you. It's not just Paul in his writings. I know a lot of times that people might hone in on the individual writer. And since Paul is the author of so many of the New Testament books, we sometimes get hung up there, but I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit, through the writers, have always tried to encourage the people to remind themselves about what God teaches us. And unfortunately, you know, in the Old Testament, Israel lost the book for many years. You might recall all kinds of times where leaders or kings came to the forefront. Because they found the book, they got it out, they dusted it off, and they read it again. And the people did what? They prospered. That's what. So when Tom opened the service this morning by saying that we were going to worship God, and we were going to do that by looking into the Word of God, we mean that. That is what we're about. It's unfortunate that many people are raising their families or their children, and they're raising them without the Word of God. I believe that's one of the reasons that we have difficulty in our country as we do today, because we don't have God's principles available to us. We tend to remember, when we do remember, if you're like I am, what we really want to. That is, you know, if you ask Rosemary the details about some certain previous events in our life, you may get one story, and if you ask Preacher Bob, he may have a different slant on that thing. You know what I mean? Hey, am I talking to a bunch of dummies today, or is that right? We all remember what we want to remember about it. And there are some things about it that we want to forget from time to time. I guess that's why you folks are sitting here. Say, well, Bob, that wasn't the way you said it last. Okay, you got me. There's an ancient proverb that says that the weakest link is longer lasting than the greatest memory. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but I think it's trying to stress to us the importance of keeping things connected. And the only way we can do that is to remind ourselves about the connection. Okay, I've said enough. That's the introduction. How am I doing? I'm doing great. We need to remind ourselves. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul called for the elders to come up from the church down to Ephesus to the seaport where he was staying at Miletus. And he said to them, to the elders now, he said, take heed, brethren, to yourselves and to all of the flock, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch, and guess what the next word is? Remember. Watch and remember that by the space of some 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. There's that principle that says, remind them. Well, I thought that this morning, as we installed these individuals, these fellows that have already proven themselves to you and to us, and we know that God approves of them, that I would just point out for you a couple of things. Because the truth is that everyone, needs to be reminded. How many of you men are glad you got your cell phone now when you get to the store? Because the wife has said, get a can of peaches. I get on the peaches aisle. Jim, I'm in trouble because they come in canned like this. They come in like this. I find out they're diced, they're sliced, they're in syrup, they're in water, they're this, they're that. And I realize I have absolutely no information to pick up a can of peaches. Rosemary, what is it you want? A can of peaches. Well, I got a problem. Okay? It helps to be specific. And we don't have time to go through everything that I think that this statement is saying to Timothy, that Paul is saying to Timothy
if you'll put the brethren in remembrance of these things. It may be specifically the few verses right in front of this, but I think the principle is true that it means everybody needs to be reminded about what God has said. And there's a lot of practical things that are said. In chapter 1 of 1 Timothy at verse 15, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Two things there. Jesus died for you, and guess who is the chief sinner? That wasn't Paul. Well, it was to him. But in your life, it's to you, isn't it? And that's what we're talking about, to be reminded of. Down in chapter 2 and at verse 2, he says, "For kings and all that are in authority," or excuse me, let me back up and read the first verse. "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication and prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority." Didn't we just spend 50 days in prayer or 40 days in prayer, Ray, over this very concept, reminding ourselves that if we're going to go to a voting booth, we ought to get God in on our trip. Can I get an amen? All right? I'm not preaching about the outcome. I'm preaching about beforehand, about what we think about those things. And there's one God at verse 5 and one mediator between God and the man Jesus Christ. Do we all need to remember that? Does mankind need to remember that? That there's just one person by whom we can be saved. Jesus Christ, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. Isn't that right? We need to be reminded of it. Sometimes we get lost on the way. Other people can influence us, and they sound like great, great folks, and this is good advice. And yet, the truth is very simple for us like this. He encourages that men go everywhere lifting up their holy hands and praying to God. Do we need to be reminded that prayer works? Yeah, that's what he says. He says that women ought to likewise adorn themselves in good works. Yeah, it's one thing to get your hair done, but it's another to be a good servant of God. Now, I know I'm only touching lightly on some of this, but isn't it just truthful facts? This is a true saying, he says in chapter 3. That if a man desires the office of a bishop, that's actually a word that should be translated either elder or, as we would call them, maybe even the word pastor or overseer. We're talking about an elder here. He says he desires a good work. And then he begins to tell us the kind of person that that person ought to be. And we use that to remind ourselves what a leader in God's church is supposed to stand for. And at verse 8, it says, "Likewise must the deacons also," you see, "be grave, not double-tongued, given to much wine, not greedy of dirty money or filthy lucre or the wrong approach toward money." On and on, things that we need to be reminded of. He's leading up to his statement. And he says down at verse 15 that if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and the ground of truth. Do we need to remember how important it is that these things are reminded and practiced in our daily life? And then he says the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to Well, all kinds of things. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their consciences seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. We need to be reminded of that. Some folks have come up with a religion about doing away with certain things. We become bound by what other folks may tell us. We become so involved in, well, what the human body is looking like and how we ought to take care of it. And I'm an advocate of you being healthy. That's great. But that is not nearly as important as being spiritually inclined. And if we spend as much time in the Bible as we do at the gym, some of us would be much better off. And so he says, if you put the brethren in remembrance of those things, you'll be a good preacher, you'll be a good minister, you'll be a good pointer-outer. I made that one up, okay? Now, how are you going to do that? All of us need to be encouraged to stay close to God. And the way I know how to, the only way I know to say to you as a preacher is the best way to do that is to stay close to His Word. So make it a discipline to read something from the message of God. Do it every day. It'll help you remember what God has said. And then pray about it. Stay close to God in your prayer life. That may sound strange, but you know, you can become so involved in what you're praying for that you forget that you're praying to the Almighty. And so we're giving Him a laundry list of what we think we want and we need when we in fact forget about He is the God of all creation. And He knows what we need before we even ask. Put God in the right place is all I'm saying. And then make that prayer with a humble heart, with confidence that comes from, of course, knowing God. And I assure you that that will bring about great joy in your life. This is Bible teaching. I'm not quoting you the passage that goes with this, but if you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you'll hear every one of these points that I'm making to you right here. It will be joyful for you. And you need a believing heart. You need a heart that believes that no matter what the circumstances appear to be, that your Heavenly Father can overcome them and deliver you from whatever it is and bring you into His presence. Now that's powerful. That's powerful. I hope you're a child of God today. I hope you'll encourage these men today that we've installed. And I want you to be a follower of the message and to be a person who is dedicated to be more spiritual in your life to come. I hope you have a time of thanksgiving and a time with family and friends that allows you to spend some time to recognize what you really are thankful for. You're here today and we can encourage you to live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't given yourself to Him as of yet, we would love to tell you what He is looking for from you and what you can look for from Him. We invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.